need to keep a pad of paper and a pen handy because there's going to be information given during the show that you may want to make a note about, not want to miss any of the detailed information. Also, our toll-free number, should you want to call in during the latter part of the hour, is 877-876-5227, if you would want to talk to me then. Our guest today is Madonna Siles. Her book is Brain Heal Thyself. Madonna has a phenomenal story, I think. I always think it takes a great deal of courage to talk about one's personal journey. So many of us feel like our pains and our sufferings that we've gone through, well, we just don't want too many people to know about it. But Madonna has taken a different positioning. Madonna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a delight to have you. Now, where are you located?
I'm in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
Which is also known as Door County, which is a popular resort area in the Midwest.
You have a story that I think anyone would be interested in reading, especially if they have known of or have had to experience being a caregiver. And you were a caregiver for a very dear friend of yours who had a near-fatal brain aneurysm and stroke. And this is a story that most people would say, I don't know, I could have done that. Madonna, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've got a wonderful intro that's been done by a nurse whose daughter went through a trauma of having a severe a brain injury when she was hit by a car, and that's a wonderful, wonderful story in and of itself. But your story, how did you and Eve get together?
Well, Eve and I met at a 12-step meeting in Chicago. Gosh, it must have been about 12 years ago now. And she was relatively newly widowed, and I was single, which I always was. And we found that we both shared an interest in the arts. Me, I wanted to always be a painter. And Eve kind of wanted to always see what it would be like to do a gallery. So we kind of joined forces. And the first place we went to try things out was Sedona, Arizona. And that was real nice. So we love Sedona, Arizona, but we kind of missed the rain and cold and wind.
Bet you never thought that would happen.
No. We're so weird. Anyway, after about 3 years, we decided to come back to the Midwest and on a weekend vacation to Door County, we found the bargain of the century on Lake Michigan. And it was also zoned commercially so that it would be an ideal place to set up an art gallery. And all of our dreams seemed to be coming true all at once. It looked real doable. And so I figured with the little bit of freelance work I had, we could make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we were doing when the brain aneurysm happened.
Now, this was on October the 11th of 2001, and for those of you who are just tuning into the broadcast, it's Brain Heal Thyself. Now, this is a powerful, powerful story, so you're going to want to hear all of it. Madonna Siles, who is my guest today, is going to be telling us what happened to her very dear friend, Eve, and that was on October the 11th, 2001. What occurred, Madonna?
Well, like everybody else, we were watching the TV nonstop, generally. But on that day, for the headlines of 911, waiting for the updates and everything, and that was a good part of our off time in life. But this day, I was in my art studio painting, and it was beautiful fall day in Midwest. In the Midwest in Wisconsin, and Eve was out in the yard doing some weed whipping, and we were getting ready for winter. Winter comes real soon up here, and all of a sudden I noticed that the weed whip was quiet. And that just made me a little nervous. So my ears perked up, and I heard this really faint cry of, "Help me, help me." And, man, I didn't know where it was coming from. I ran out in the backyard. I ran to the front yard. I ran all over the house twice. And finally, I ran back to the living room where Eve was crawling in on her hands and knees. And I said, "What happened?" You know, I thought she had chopped off her leg or something with the weed whip. But no, she hadn't. And she said, "I feel like I was shot between my eyes." And I took her literally. I looked to see if she was shot between her eyes. And no, she wasn't. And then all of a sudden she started rolling around and thrashing on the floor and screaming in agony. And I didn't know what was going on. And I said, "What happened?" And she was just moaning. And so I ran to the phone, dialed 911, and I felt kind of stupid because I didn't know what I was calling about. But they said they'd send an ambulance, and then we live in a real small town area, and I mean very small towns, a couple hundred per town, separated by about 10 miles because it's this kind of resort area. And all of a sudden, all these first responders came running to the door. And they're just regular townspeople, and I guess they can check blood pressure and keep you quiet until the ambulance arrives from about 45 minutes away to the next bigger town. And before I knew it, she was in the ambulance, and I thought, what I really thought was, boy, I'll just bet this was a whopper of a migraine headache, and I overreacted to it. I was feeling really stupid as I followed the ambulance into town.
But it wasn't something that was stupid. She suffered a grand mal seizure while she was
right.
in the ambulance, in
right.
addition to the stroke that had hit her when she was outside.
And
so,
I also learned later that she was in heart failure on our living room floor.
Oh, my goodness.
But nobody told me that. So, yes, everything was shutting down at that time.
So here you are, her very dearest friend. You are on the way to the hospital, and then she goes into a coma, and you have all of these various things that are coming down big time, insurance forms, all kinds of evaluations. Now, here you are as a friend. How was this handled at the hospital? What did you have to do? What did you have to go through? Because so many times when people have emergencies like this, they don't know how to respond, Madonna. I mean, you didn't know how to respond. You're never prepared for this kind of a thing, really.
No, I didn't. And, well, actually, now I take that back. Yes, we did. We had, because we're not kids,
mm-hmm.
we're in our 50s, or at that time we were both in our 50s, we had powers of attorney, both medical and financial, and so we were papered up, as they say, and that just wasn't enough because I believe it's something called HIPAA. It's the hospital regulations that they can't divulge anything to anybody who isn't a blood relative,
right.
Son, daughter, mother type thing that was just going into effect. And boy, was this hospital following that. And so, yes, I ran into problems. They didn't want to tell me anything. After the initial emergency, they treated me like a stranger, despite the fact that I said, "This woman has no blood relative in 300 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm it."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so here we are now. You're in this situation. She is diagnosed by the medical professionals that she was going to be a vegetable.
Yes.
How were you able finally to be able to get some information from the medical personnel regarding your very dear friend?
Well, I about the best wasn't given much information at all. What the best information I got was a week before they discharged her. They told me they were going to discharge her, even though she was in a coma, and I better go find her in a nursing home. And on top of that, I better get rid of, well, as part of that process, if you don't have a whole bunch of money, I had to get rid of all of her possessions and put her on Medicaid in order to qualify her financially for assistance in the nursing home. Because, like so many insurance policies, well, lots of insurance policies have no nursing home coverage. Ours had a, well, ours, I, we didn't have mutual policies. Hers had a whopping 12 days of coverage.
Okay, so now you had 12 days of coverage here. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking with Madonna Siles, Brain Heal Thyself. Here she's gone through all of this information. She's dealing with the fact that her friend can only be given care for 12 days. Now, was she actually in the nursing home? Did you actually put her there, Madonna?
I went around Green Bay, Wisconsin. There was only one nursing home open in Door County, so now I'm operating almost 2 hours away. I finally begged a nursing home to take her because they didn't want to, because she wasn't qualified for Medicaid or for Social Security assistance. And I waved a charge card at them, and I said, I got $10,000 on this charge card. That's how I'm going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And they accepted her, and luckily the admissions nurse said she might come out of the coma. And she was the first medical professional who gave me any ray of hope that anything might happen.
Yes. Now, Eve did come out of the coma.
Yes, she did.
She came out of the coma. You had her in the nursing home for 12 days. And your story in your book, for those of you listening, to me what was so profound is how Madonna, here is her very dearest friend. They have had so many wonderful things that they have been able to accomplish. Suddenly, overnight, her life is thrown into a turmoil financially. It's thrown into just all kinds of confusion because of the various circumstances. Your love for your friend was so strong that you ended up bringing her home, and you ended up accomplishing something with Eve that a lot of people professionally would never, ever have thought was a possibility. After these 12 days, how did you manage to get her home?
Well,
and who are the brain caregivers?
It was not 12 days. She ended up in the nursing home for 2.5 months. And then from there, she was in an inpatient rehabilitation hospital for a month in Chicago. And then I brought her home. So through the miracle of nurses who helped me, I was able to keep her in an institution while I figured out how I was going to handle this, which I never really did figure out how I was going to handle it. It all came down to one day at a time type approach to this. Now I've forgotten. Where you had
in here brain caregivers. You talk about your nurses, and I think that this is so significant because there were many, many people that were so supportive of what you wanted to do and what you incorporated in helping Eve really gain her life back.
Well, it's true. And most of the people who helped were the middle-level people. Not that the doctors didn't help. They just didn't have time to talk to somebody who was scared to death of caregiving. It was like, oh, get a grip on it, lady.
Mm-hmm.
And the way caregivers are treated is like, get out of my way. Rather than the person who's going to be totally responsible for something they know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I mean, to look at Eve, it was like looking at a shell of a human being, and you have no clue as to whether anything's going to get better. You have really no clue how to even communicate with this person. And I was feeling it doubly because all of our really close friends, and you wonder how close your friends really are when it comes down to something like this. We're in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and I was 250 miles away in the middle of winter up in Door County, Wisconsin. So to have day-to-day help, it just didn't exist. I relied on people in the community who I knew were nurses, and we didn't have a whole bunch of friends, but luckily I knew one or two that I could call and say, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Including the woman who wrote the foreword to my book. She was an old high school friend, but she threw it back to me. I don't know what to tell you to do. We had a hard enough time with our brain-injured daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told us what to do, and she goes, You assume that just because I'm a nurse that I know what to do with brain injury. They don't teach you this.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Now, Jenny was a very good friend of yours that you knew from AA, and you did something that I think was very, very powerful. You explored utilizing the subconscious with Eve.
Yes.
To work with her for rehab. And you make a statement that the most powerful ads, and this came from a professor of yours in a class that you had attended in college, that the most powerful ads that we see on a daily basis employ emotional appeals that were aligned with a person's subconscious value system. And it was your job as a copywriter, this was many years ago when you were in college, to identify a need, match it with a subconscious value, then show how the advertised product could satisfy that need and reinforce that value. Now, this is something you were taught back in
right.
college. How did you utilize this with Eve?
Well, the way I did it was I listed everything that I knew about Eve that she held dear. And it went from pride in keeping a clean house, pride in her 12-step program, pride in love of our two cats,
mm-hmm.
Also love of her friends back in Chicago, although it wasn't evident at that time. If she got on a phone, one friend sounded like another to me listening in on the conversation. She didn't respond to me any more than she would to a salesman calling on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything except what I knew from the past, what she held dear. I knew she loved her husband. She devoted to her family, but they were all gone. They were dead.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a belief in an afterlife. So, you know, what would your mother say? What would your dad say? What would your husband say? I used everything that I knew that she loved, and I tried to evoke memories, her old stories, anything that she had shared with me in the past. I tried to buy into that story and use it as a reason for why she should do something.
Mm-hmm. You also said here, the slogan, act as if, and you said, I will act as if it's possible to entice the brain to make new circuits using direct subconscious suggestions and creative visualizations. This is something that they are finding with many people that have had strokes, that the brain can rewire. And that was something that science said for so many years it wasn't possible. And here you are with Eve, using your own manner of being able to communicate with her and actually rewiring her brain. It is absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Now, you had to work on yourself also as
yes.
you were going through this. because you had to realize that you had to take care of yourself as well as taking care of Eve. So it's such a challenge for you. Such a challenge for you. And when you were working with Eve, what was the first accomplishment that Eve did when you started doing this? This isn't something that happens real fast. It happens. What was her first recognition that you were on the right track with what you were doing?
That's kind of, I went blind for so long through this process. It was more, this is hindsight now, but what I noticed was that things came back in clumps. I guess the first thing I really worked on task-wise with her was laundry. Of all the household chores, she liked doing laundry the best. Kind of funny, but I sat with her and I used every teaching principle that I could think of that would teach somebody. Well, as an advertising copywriter, I wrote instructions a lot for different products, how to use them and all that stuff. And so I went with her step by step through laundry, trying to remember how she did it, not how I do it, and appealing to whatever I thought she got out of doing laundry. And I guess the first amazing thing that happened was I did little cue cards for her, how to do this load, that load, this load, that load. And after about 2 weeks, I was sitting at the table doing some bills or something, and the laundry was being done because I could hear the washing machine, and I looked under my stack of papers, and there were all the cue cards. And I realized she was doing laundry without cue cards.
Mm-hmm.
Something had come back, and maybe simultaneously she was taking an interest in cooking, especially since I couldn't cook. It came back in like clumps at a certain level of just all of a sudden I would notice that her interest was piqued on something, and her eyes would sparkle. Very, very subtle signals, which goes back to the caregiver, me, having to control my paranoia, panic, everything else, so that I could recognize what was going on with her and not be all concerned with my reaction, so that I could read kind of like her body language, even energy. I mean, just a change in the, it would be very subtle.
You said your rehabilitation goal for Eve was not to create a new person, not to create a new Eve, but to bring back old Eve behaviors by aligning your subconscious suggestions with her lifelong beliefs, needs, and values. And you had a lot of avenues to explore. And I know that Eve has come back. She is living a life that is rich. And I think you said she's recovered 90% of her facilities or her faculties.
That's true. As a matter of fact, while we were talking, she just came back from the grocery store with ice cream, which was on sale. But that meant she drove a car, and then she went into a store and made choices, paid for it with money, and came out. And what I had learned, this is through my whole advertising career and also knowing, having worked with Dr. Bure, who also is also involved in the book. He commented on all the progress here.
Mm-hmm.
That shopping is one of the most stressful things that anybody does during a day, because they're faced with so many choices and decisions, and the people who sell the products, not necessarily the supermarket, but the people who come in and shelve their products, want to make it really easy for you to choose theirs and maybe not the one you want. And so it's a high stress environment, and it's also a totally different type of mindset than where you're at when you're driving a car, for example. So you got two very complicated activities put together, and boy, that she can do them is utterly amazing. I mean, that it's just utterly amazing when you consider where she was at when she came home, which was getting from one room to another was like I had to give her directions, you know, go straight and turn left.
And that's rewiring the brain after this trauma. My guest has been today Madonna Siles. The wonderful book is Brain, Heal Thyself. Madonna has told us her story as best she can, but believe me, the book is absolutely awesome. And the commentary by the Dr. Lawrence Bouret at the end of the book is quite profound, because in it, he states how they don't know how this works or why it works. And yet science is realizing that the brain can be rewired. And for any of you that maybe know a family who's got a member that is going through something like this, Madonna's book would be a must read, because this is her personal journey. There was no guidebook. There was no instruction book. The nurse that does the foreword in the book is so insightful because her own child went through, at a very young age, a major brain trauma. Madonna, you have a website that is on and it's being added to right now called alternativecaregiving.com. Alternativecaregiving.com, which our listeners can go to if they're interested. And as we're closing out the interview, what would you like to leave as the way of a simple message for my listeners?
Anything's possible, but you got to take it one day at a time. I still have to take it one day at a time. So does Eve. And one of the best things I've learned from the 12-step program is not to have any expectations. And that frees you up to try almost anything. And that's kind of the message of the book. Go ahead and try it, because there are no instruction books still out there. And a lot of this stuff is based on common sense. And mostly what I do in my book is kind of say, go ahead, try it. Keep trying it until it works.
Until it works. Madonna, I think that it was a very fortunate thing. You and Eve were such good friends, because you're a friend of a lifetime. And I'm sure she just so appreciates you, because without you, she probably would be in a facility somewhere over-medicated. This is Donna Sebo. My guest today has been Madonna Siles. This is a story about her very dearest friend, Eve, about the experience she had with brain trauma, and her title of her book is Brain, Heal Thyself. It really gives you a real view of what someone can go through in the way of a very difficult experience. Madonna, thank you again for being my guest.
You.
It's been a pleasure having you. We are going to be taking a break. We'll be coming back shortly. Don't you go away now. We're going to be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted to be able to share this hour with you. By the way, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number that's toll-free that you can call into is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. By the way, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to the management and staff at the Renaissance Fantasy Fair. We finished up our last weekend, this past weekend. Oh, my goodness, it was incredible. Tens of thousands of people were out there. It was just awesome. I want to thank you so much for just doing such a great job. It was great to be with you. We have a caller, and I want to say welcome, caller. And for those of you who are listening, you're going to be able to call in, too. Remember, it's 877-876-5227. 877. Welcome, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Jay, and you know me. I'm calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
Long time no here.
Well, you found my new location.
Yes, I did.
Well, I
finally got some time to, like, listen to your shows, your wonderful shows. So.
Oh.
Congratulations on your new adventure.
Well, thank you very much. BBS Radio is the opportunity that it's just been absolutely wonderful, and they're a wonderful team of people to work with. Okay,
yes,
Jay,
indeed.
Let me just say this to you quickly. As I'm watching you in my mind, I feel like something has sort of slapped you down, and I'm watching you sort of getting up, and you're just sort of shaking your head and saying, I hadn't expected that particular setback. It's only going to keep me down for a little bit of time, but it sure does discombobulate you. And I'm looking at you going through some kind of an adjustment. Now, I don't know what this slapdown was. However, I do think it probably is going to work out for you in a way that you had not anticipated. And I'm getting the number 3. So the setback, or slapdown, as I described it, is about either three weeks or 3 months. And you're going to be able to make it turn around and go into positive positioning for yourself. I like this because I think that this is very, very good. I do think that you are going to have to really keep your nose to the working grindstone, though, because there's a lot of detail that you're having to take care of these next few months and a lot of overviews and evaluations that must be made. So I want you to really pay attention, Jay. I want you to take care of those details. Don't slough off. It's going to pay off. What question did you want to ask me today?
Well, actually, you're very right about being me slapped by a big fish in my face. You're absolutely correct about that. What happened is that I invited my teacher to my website, and she sent me a particular email, and I didn't know what was going on with this email, and I wanted some communications by telephone, and then I didn't get any communications because I started phoning for her on her telephone, but she didn't answer her phone, basically, return my messages. And then I get this email that started my new website, and it's nice knowing you, take off, and have a nice life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. And I'm just recovering from that, if you were to say, from that situation. So I don't know who's in the right or who's in the wrong. I don't know, how do I provide closure to this? Do I send her an email?
What I would do two things. I would send an email saying I received your email, I'm a little bit perplexed. I've tried to call you by phone and I've not been able to get a response. I don't quite understand what has been going on here. Could you clarify something for me? How did you feel about the website? You know, give me your feedback with clarity and, any solid information, fine. What I think you're going to discover, and this is going to take you a while to find out.
Okay.
I think you're going to find that the person that has been the teacher has become very overwhelmed with certain things and in many ways is not in a position to give the time, effort, and energy to the teaching as originally was proposed. So I think you need to follow through and say, I would just like some clarity on this. Do you have any suggestions? You know, come from that positioning. Whatever you do, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. And
well, I kind of took it personal because my energy went down for
right.
a couple days.
And
my chi energy went down.
Right. So what I'd like for you to do is say, okay, let's look at this as if it were a business arrangement. This
right.
is a person that's my teacher. This is a person that is supposed to give me feedback on what I'm doing, so let me ask questions. But I think that the individual that is a teacher is going through a lot of garbage, and I think that they are not accomplishing what they think they should be accomplishing, and so they're on their own overwhelm. And this, in the long run, is going to work out best for you because I think it's important that you graduate to another level, especially if you're interested in doing web work, et cetera. So
is that the Because I know even some friends that I thought that took the course too, they're going the wayside too. And I'm going like, did I go to another level or something like that?
All like, you need to do is to be very clear and very, again, approach it like you would a business situation.
Okay.
And say, I would like to have some clarity on this. What points would you advise me to pay attention to? In other words, ask for the critique, but be specific. But don't try to make it into something personal. Gee, they must hate me or something like this or whatever, like we all do. That is the childlike part of yourself that wants approval. What you want to do is take a different positioning, because if you've already gone the other route, you know how mucked up everything got for you. You got very depressed over it. And when there isn't good communication, when someone as a teacher is not going to be really clear, it shows you, number one, they're not that all that good as a teacher, or number two, they are so overwhelmed with something that's going on in their own lives that they cannot take care of their responsibility. So all you need to do to get closure, I think, is to get clarity on what they feel you've done well, what they feel you have not done well. And if this is a person that is interacting with other individuals and they are having a little bit of the same problem themselves, or they're saying, gee, we don't know why this happened, just say, okay, let me just make it straight business. This is a teacher. I will communicate with a teacher, and then I will let it go. And this is a person that maybe it's time for me to graduate to another level. But if this person was a good teacher, they would tell you, I have nothing else to do. I have nothing else to give you in the way of knowledge, and now you can graduate to some other positioning.
Mm.
So there's all kinds of things here, but the key that you have, you want to get the clarity. So you've got to get out of taking it as a personal put-down of you. Don't go there, because it's not going to be a winning situation for you at all. If you have done everything that was recommended, if you are of the positioning now where you can graduate to the next level, then move on.
Mm, okay.
But don't get stuck there.
Yes, that's what people have been telling me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Don't stay there, because, Jay, it's not going to serve you any purpose.
Well, no, I'm actually going on a quick holiday. I'm going to have lots of fun. I got to find some clarity for myself, too, because
mm-hmm.
I've got some issues about that.
Just get out of the personal zone with it. And I know that's sometimes tough. But in this situation, I think it's going to be the best thing you can do and realize you're just moving on, and it's going to be really a good change for you, a good change. Because obviously this person is having some issues they're dealing with, and they're not being clear in the way that they're interacting with others. Jay, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yes, many blessings. I'll listen to your show.
And pass the word along to your
friends. I know. And it's wonderful to talk to you again. And many abundant blessings to you and healing blessings for myself.
Absolutely. Win-win all the way. Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat, 877-876-5227. That's our toll-free number. And again, I know we had the caller, so I didn't finish saying what I wanted to say. The staff in the management at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, they are just so awesome, and we had such a blast. And for those of you that were able to come, it was just such a delight to have you stop by, say hello, and tell me how much you enjoyed the programming. It was just so much fun. Of course, I get to dress up, and it's absolutely wonderful. I have these real fancy costumes that I like to wear, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful environment, and it's laid back, and I have a chance to talk with those people to come out. So it was really, really nice. And again, I just appreciate the management and staff so much. They did a great job. It's going to be done again next year. In fact, they're going to have a 10th year celebration in 2007. So don't forget, you can go to their website, which is WashingtonRenFair.com, and you can find out about the new things that are coming up. They'll have photos up there and all kinds of good things to share with you. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 877-876-5227. Now, I want to let you know about our guests that are coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Kay Fault back in Virginia. And this is a story about her dog, and it's called Lauren's Story. It is so much fun. And we are going to be going to Gay Paris tomorrow. just in thought, not actually physically, but Kay is going to tell us some wonderful stories about this fascinating little dog. Then, George Kohlreiser, we're going to be talking with him, and he is in Switzerland. We're going to be talking about Hostage at the Table. That sounds ominous. Well, it could be, but George is going to be giving us a different perspective entirely. He's going to show us how we don't have to be hostages of our own emotions and our world. But this is a man who's had real-life hostage situations to deal with. Fascinating man, and we'll be talking with him tomorrow. We're also going to be talking on Friday with E. Laszlo. He's going to be in Tuscany, Italy, so we're traveling around the world with the Donna Sebo Show with our guest, The Chaos Point. And Mr. Laszlo is very much involved with the Dalai Lama and many other prominent persons in various positions throughout the world who are working towards peace. And then we're going to be talking about nutrition next week. We're also going to be talking about those things we call pests, those bugs and little creepy crawlers that come into our environments and mess up our gardens and sometimes invade our homes. Well, we're going to find out from Andrew Lopez how we can take care of those without pesticides. How does that sound to you? Real good information. Then we're going to be talking to Adrian Finkelstein. Marilyn Monroe returns. Fascinating story. You're not going to want to miss it. And then Carol Edmondson is the Doodle Lady. And I've had Carol on my show before, and she's just a delight. Absolutely wonderful. And so we're going to find out about doodling and how it can make a difference in your life. So that's our lineup for the next couple of weeks, and you don't want to miss any of it. Fascinating people, fascinating shows. It is always a delight to share with you. We're going to take a break for just a minute. Don't you go away. Remember, you can give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power. And in this last segment of the show, we've got time to chat with you if you would like to give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Well, you know what? We always hear, not always, let me correct myself there. We frequently hear broadcast today how valuable gold is and how gold is going to be going up in price. Well, when I read this one article, I thought, if all this gold was available, it probably wouldn't be worth very much, not even a nickel. Here we've got information on the Earth's inner Fort Knox. Yes, apparently there's a lot of the golden stuff available that we don't know very much about or have no access to right at the moment. According to Bernard Wood of Macquarie University in Australia, he says that more than 99% of Earth's gold is missing because it all sank to the center of the planet billions of years ago. Now, Bernard Wood is a geologist. And he said, there's enough gold in Earth's core to coat its surface in 1.5 feet of the stuff. And his question is, how did it get there? I'd like to know how he found out where it was. So he doesn't go into that too much. But anyway, he said, the Earth formed a series of smaller planetesimals that clashed together over the course of 30 to 40 million years. Now, Mr. Wood deduced how much gold ought to be present in the Earth's crust by comparing the crust's composition to that of meteorites, similar to the planetesimals, and he concluded that the crust was depleted of gold, platinum, and nickel, and suggests that all these iron-loving elements were pulled into Earth's iron-rich core while its surface was still an ocean of molten magma. Provocative thinking, isn't it? It's a theory. It's something that may cause a little bit of exploration by some other scientists. And he said, in fact, if meteorites hadn't later deposited gold on Earth's surface millions of years after its core had fully formed and its crust had cooled, gold would be even more rare and expensive than it is today. Now, Mr. Wood calculated that 1.6 quadrillion tons of gold must lie in the Earth's core. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot of gold to me. However, he says this is only a tiny percentage of the core's overall mass, about one part per million. And he believes that the Earth's core holds six times as much platinum. And he said, you know, we don't talk about the platinum too much because people get a lot more excited about gold. Well, I'm wondering how someone would even begin an exploration to the center of the earth to try to get something like that. And in front of me is an illustration where they say the earth has a heart of gold. I love artists. They have wonderful, wonderful ways of being able to work with color and design. And they've cut away a portion of the earth, and they have this big golden heart right in the middle. Earth's inner Fort Knox. This is Donna Sebo, and remember, we're going to have some fabulous guests this week. You don't want to miss any of them. Be sure to tell your friends about the show. And also, bbsradio.com. Don't forget, when you go into the homepage of bbsradio.com, you have to log in. No biggie, because that'll give you access to all of the wonderful shows that we have here, but also it will give you access to archives. So you can go in at your leisure and listen to all kinds of shows that have been on before. And that's a wonderful advantage with BBS Radio, and it's all free. So be sure and tell your friends, and shows are archived as they are able to do that, and so you're able to go back and listen and just enjoy something that maybe you missed. So don't forget, make BBSRadio.com a regular spot for your listening pleasure. They also have all kinds of music that they play. How do you feel about sleep? Well, so many of us here in the States are really sleep deprived. And I don't know about you, but I can't get along with just a couple hours sleep a night. It catches up with me big time. So I am someone that really needs to make sure that she gets her rest. I don't know about you. Well, chronic insomnia has long been considered a symptom of depression. But you know what? They've got two new studies that indicate it may also bring on the blues. And that is true because your body is frustrated. It's not getting the rest it's supposed to have. And Michael Perlis said insomnia can be a major contributor, to depression. And Michael is the director of the University of Rochester Sleep and Neurophysiology Research Laboratory. And he has authored a few papers regarding this. He studied about 147 healthy elderly people. And the women who woke up often during the night were about 6 times more likely to become depressed than those who slept well. And in the second study that he did of 1,221 elderly people being treated for depression, those with insomnia were about 12 times more likely to be depressed 6 months later than those who slept well, and were 10 times more likely to be depressed after a year. Well, they're going to do another study finding whether treating insomnia can actually prevent depression. Meanwhile, he said if you're worried about persistent sleep problems, talk to your doctor or maybe go to a sleep specialist. They might be able to assist you with some kind of behavioral therapy, and there may be some other things they can recommend. And if you're being treated for depression and are not sleeping well, you need to find out how you can get more rest. You know, it's a funny thing. When we are rested, we're rejuvenated. And lots of times it can be just as simple as taking a nap. That's all. Give yourself 15 minutes. You know, I learned that from a Marine sergeant. Or let me tell you what the sergeant told me. This is so many years ago. When he was overseas and was in active duty, he said many times we were sleep deprived, and he trained himself to go to sleep soundly. He said bombs could be dropping anything, and I'd go to sleep soundly for 15 minutes. And he would try to put himself into a positioning where he could elevate his feet a little bit and sort of stretch out and go to sleep. But he said, I'd say to myself in my mind, 15 minutes and then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be refreshed and alert. And he learned how to do that, and he did it regularly. And he said it saved his life because frequently as a soldier he would be so fatigued that he couldn't focus and he couldn't respond well. So he learned how to take mini naps. And I just share that with you because I think it's a very useful tool. And you know, when you do stretch out, lay down, if you can elevate your feet, it's been proven when you elevate your feet about 6 inches off the ground, what it will do, it will actually enable you to, let's say, for 15 or 20 minutes of rest, it makes you feel like you've had a couple of hours of rest. It helps the circulation. It just does wonderful things for the body. So it's a tip. If you want to feel rested, take some of those mini naps. Really makes a difference. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're out of time. So good to be back with you. And just know, tomorrow we're going to be traveling to Grand Paris to talk about a little dog. Kay Falls is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about Lauren's story. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous summer day. It's going to be the best one ever. Bye for now. Talk to you tomorrow.